Good afternoon, Cell Group, and welcome back to our discussion of last Sunday's Gospel, which is from Mark, very early verses in chapter 1, verses 7 to 11. And we have John the Baptist in the course of his preaching. John the Baptist said, "Someone is following me, someone who is more powerful than I am, and they're not fit to kneel down and undo the strap of his sandals." That's all verse 7. So there's an important word in there, and this translation has it as, in the course of his preaching, John said. Other translations have it, John proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I am is following, is coming after me. That word proclaimed is important because Mark uses it very often, more often than the other evangelists. You've heard the word kerygma, and that's the Greek word for that proclaimed. It's to shout clearly, loudly, announce, usually announcing the basic truths about Jesus and his mission. So the kerygma would be what is preached about Jesus. So just by comparison, Matthew uses the word kerygma 9 times, Mark 14 times, Luke 9, John doesn't use it at all, and Acts uses it 8 times. So it's an important word in Mark's gospel. Jesus proclaims and other people proclaim. So here John the Baptist is announcing loudly, clearly, the news that someone is following him. Now, it's interesting to think what happened there, that Jesus was part of the crowd of people that followed John the Baptist and went about with him, listened to his preaching. I had in my head the image that Jesus heard that he was baptizing and sort of went out and got baptized and went back again. Kind of an appointment kind of thing, but it was more that he was going around as part of the disciples of John the Baptist. He was literally following him. He was also coming after him. John was the last of the great prophets, and Jesus was coming after him. "And I'm not fit to kneel down and undo the strap of his sandals." That was the lowliest task of a slave. And John didn't see himself worthy to do that, the lowliest task. So he's saying that this someone is far more important than he is. And I think I've mentioned this before, but the early church had this in their scriptures, that John the Baptist might have been popular and might have been great, but Jesus was even more great. He was greater. "So I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." That word baptized, total immersion, going into the River Jordan, a big turning point in these people's lives. Before and after, there was the whole Red Sea experience of going into the water and coming out into your freedom, leaving slavery behind, entering into your land of freedom. So the huge symbolism, not only for Jews, but a lot of religions have water rituals. And you can even think of the washing that the Jews would have had of their hands as far as the elbows before meals, cleansing of not just the street dust, but also a ritual cleansing of sin, unworthiness, any taint that they might have picked up from other people, from sinners. And then this cleansing liberated them and made them able to go and do their worship or enjoy the meal or whatever it was. So John baptizes with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So there's a difference in the baptism. One of the scholars I was reading says that John preached judgment and conversion. Jesus preached the good news and conversion. So the writer, Mark, makes it clear that John's not exactly certain. He just knows that someone is coming after him, someone more important than he is, and that the quality of his ritual is going to be far more powerful. So it was at this time that Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. Maybe this is where I got the notion that he came out and had it done and went back again. No sooner had he come up out of the water, verse 10, than he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit like a dove descending on him. It could be that the Spirit descended on him like a dove, or the Spirit like a dove descended on him, the way the translation could be put. But nevertheless, there's things to be seen and things to be heard. A voice came from heaven: "You are my son, the beloved. My favour rests on you." And those same words were said on the Mount of the Transfiguration: "This is my beloved, listen to him, or my favour rests on him." So a huge moment in the life of Jesus, a huge moment for John the Baptist and his followers, hearing this voice and seeing the dove and knowing that this was the one that John was prophesying. So some questions then for you to consider. John gives a good example of humility as a person confident in his own role but not seeking to claim to be more than he is. He is able to acknowledge that Jesus is greater. There's freedom in being able to acknowledge the gifts of others without losing a sense of one's own giftedness. Just share with the group times when you were able to do this. A second question: the baptism of Jesus was an extraordinary religious experience for him. Something happened that was a major step forward for Jesus in coming to know that he was the beloved Son of God. We have all events in our lives that are milestones along the road of discovering who we are. Could you share with the group what those milestones have been for you? And maybe a final question. The quote, "You are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased." Bring to mind memories of experiences in which you knew you were the beloved of God or of another person, and that the one who loved you was well pleased. So just in your own mind, bring these experiences to mind with gratitude, and know that the only proper response to love received is thankfulness. Maybe you'd like to share some of those experiences with the group. So God bless your work. God bless you as you gather to consider these words of Scripture. May they bring us life.